Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to Ask an Attorney. The law office is now open. If you have a legal question about Florida law, give us a call. Our toll-free number, 800-969-9352.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open on this Super Bowl Sunday. It's 8:06 in the morning, and if you have a legal question, I'll be more than glad to help you in any way I can. You have a toll-free number to call the show. It can be anything about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, real estate, family law, traffic law, just about any area of law. If you have a legal question, I'd be more than glad to try to help you. Again, it's a toll-free number, 800-969-9352. That's 800-969-9352. Phone lines are open, and be glad to take your call. We are on this morning from 6 to 7 this morning, and we had a little gap there between 7 and 8, and now we're back live to another live show. For those of you who weren't around at 6 o'clock, we had some interesting questions. We had John Frazier talking about my VA Medicaid attorney with the firm called in, and we talked a little bit about how to apply for Medicaid. We talked about how things can be reorganized, how if you live in one state and you get sick in Florida, how quickly you can qualify for Medicaid in Florida. So that was part of those questions. If you want the answers to those questions, you can. My producer is going to carve that segment out, and I'd be glad if you would like to listen to all of that from this morning. Be glad to send that to you as well. We had Stanley DeFreitas, Mr. Green Thumb, call in the show. Now, if those of you that are listening to the Guardian show that Mark Govan ran for many years, they were great friends, and Stan DeFreitas used to have a show on 970 a long time ago. He has many hours plugged in doing the gardening show. He wrote a book all about gardening. Actually, my wife and I have a copy of that book. Great book. All right, let's go to we have callers now. Let's go to Allie in Tampa.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for taking my
call. My pleasure.
Sir, I have a weird situation. I had a speeding ticket over the 30 miles, and the cop told me to go to court. I did register in the court, and I have never received the court date. It's been more than 2.5 months. I called the county, and they said they don't have any record. So what do I do now?
Well, I've had an attorney, former state attorney, on my show as a guest many times. His name is Hunter. He does a lot of traffic cases as well. If you want to email me, I'll give you his number, and he can check out online what the status of your case is and let you know. And if you need help, he'd be glad to help you. So if you want to email me, my email address is Joe, J-O-E, @attypip.com. That's Joe @attypip.com.
Joe@attypip.
My producer will give it to you here, so he'll put you on hold and give it to you, okay? All right, let's go to Thomas in Tampa.
Hey, Joe. How you doing? Good morning.
Good morning, Thomas.
I just received a final court order for a divorce. But the judge went back over 2 years prior to my financials to my wife filing for a divorce. At that time, I had a couple hundred grand. At this time, I have like 50,000. But now I have to give my wife the house and come up with another $200,000, even though now I don't have it. Do you think that's an appealable case? And if you do, I did a little research. They said only 1 in 5 is successful. What if I can't pay it and just basically ignore the whole thing? Or
well, let me ask
I don't
you
know
this.
What to do unless they garnish
yeah,
my wages.
I don't think I would ignore it because they'd just get a judgment against you. Did you have an attorney during this process?
I had an attorney through the divorce, yes. Right now she says she's got the records in front of an appellate attorney right now and to see if she may or may not take the case. And that's $20,000 ticket now for the appellate if she does take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm out of pocket right now just for this divorce. It's been going on for almost 2 years, like $38,000. And the judge ordered me to pay my wife's attorney at $20,000, and he blamed it on COVID, even though my financials were all getting done, were all completed prior to COVID. They were done in 2019. But everything was just completely one-sided.
Yeah. Well, it would be improper for me to give you advice since you have an attorney. But, you know, just what I can say probably is you don't really have much choice other than to appeal it at this point.
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm not sure if this attorney is going to take the case or not. I heard some do, some don't. But so if this one doesn't take it, I might be able to find another attorney that'll take it.
Yeah, no, that would be if that one doesn't take it, then you need to find one for sure. In other words, it's just going to be a nightmare for you in the future to with judgments and all kinds
of this whole thing's just been sucking me dry financially, just year after year, you know, and then to come find out I got to pay his attorney fees. I was like, absolutely not. For one, I don't have it. And for two, I would never do it just because of principle. You know, it's wild. It's crazy. But anyway,
all right.
So I'll find another attorney if this one doesn't take the case. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Thomas. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. If you have a legal question, the phone lines are open. And we're open for business on this Super Sunday. Not business per se, just helping you. I'm not really here to solicit business. I'm here to help people. And if I can help you with a question, please give us a call at 800-969-9352. Let's go to John in St. Petersburg. Hey, John.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How can I help you?
I have two questions, actually. Do you have a set fee for trust?
Yes, sir. We have a published fee.
Okay.
Are you single or married?
Well, I'm widowed.
Widowed, okay. So for a single person trust, the fee is $795. That includes a trust, a will, a pour over will it's called, durable power of attorney / healthcare surrogate living will, and transferring your home with a quit claim deed from you to your trust. So all that's included in the fee of $795.
Okay, and now in my trust, I have two kids and they're both married. So I'd like to put it in both couples' names. So it would be like four names on that. Is that a problem?
No, but that would be a discussion point. Most people, I can say this, but most people that we do trust documents for, and our firm, by the way, has over like 53,000 estate planning files that we've done. But most people do not leave the in-laws. So most people would leave 50-50 to your two children, and if they aren't living, if they die before you, their share goes to their children, not their spouse. In-laws tend to get remarried and the money could go outside the bloodline. So most people try to tightly keep it inside the bloodline. Having said that, you know, I have some clients that like their in-laws better than their children, and they are included. But, you know, most people don't.
Well, my thought is, I just wanted to know if it's possible, because my thought is if you give money to one spouse and not the other, they might say, hey, this is my money, and I want to do what I want and go buy a motorcycle or something, you know what I mean? So if I give it to both of them, then they both control the money. There's no friction there, and everything works out better. It's just what I'm thinking.
Well, what I'm saying, though, is 99% of my clients don't leave to in-laws, period. They leave down the bloodline.
Right. But can I do that? Is that a problem?
Yeah, you could. No, you could do whatever you want.
Oh, okay.
The other thing that comes to mind, though, is in a married couple, there's usually one that's stronger than the other one, so to speak.
Yes.
In control.
Yes.
So if you do that and the in-law is, you know, stronger than the child as to what to do with the money, then your distribution to your child is now under the control of the in-law, basically. Or it could be. So most people just leave it on the bloodline, but it's totally your money. You can do whatever. You could leave it all to the Salvation Army if you wanted to. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's your money. So you
okay.
But well, the attorney, you know, if I'm involved in all of these cases, I give my opinion, you know, whether it's asked for or not. Sometimes I give my opinion as to what I tell them what, you know, I said, you know, you're not most people, but here's what most people would do. Use your money, do whatever you want. Here's some of my thoughts about it.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Trying to do so. That's it. So you heard my thoughts.
Thank you. Yes, you gave me plenty to think about. I appreciate it, sir. You have a great day.
If you need, we offer the free estate planning poster sheet for people interested in wills and trusts and the difference and how it works. And if you want to send me an email with your address, I'll be glad to mail it to you.
That would be great. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you. And for anyone else listening to that would like the free estate planning poster sheet, just send me an email with your name and address to Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. And also one of the Zoom links that I can send you would be an hour-long Zoom seminar talking about trust. There's another one talking about estate planning. There's another Zoom link about asset protection. If you want any or all of those, you can just send me an email requesting that, and I would be more than glad to send those to you. My email address, again, is Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. If you want to just call the office to get the estate planning poster sheet, it's 1-800-226-3529. Hey, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. You're listening to a live show on this Super Bowl Sunday. If you have a legal question, the phone lines are open. You may have a toll-free number to call the show, 800-969-9352. That's 800-969-9352. Phone lines are open. So the in-law thing, too, if you leave money to an in-law, some people would say, you know, 50% to my son or daughter, and if they're not married to their spouse, and do it that way. And then if both are deceased to their children, and if they're all deceased with a car accident, then to the other sibling. I mean, there are all kind of ways to distribute the money. And then the... the question also comes in, if you would like for one in-law to receive the money if your child is deceased, but on the other side of the other child, you would not like that in-law to receive that money. So you can do whatever you want, though. You can leave 50% to one if not living to their spouse, if not living to their children. And you can don't have to treat both children's in-laws the same either. The probability is the older parent would die first. And the document the language in the document could cause family problems, even if they didn't receive estate. You know, if they were both living, but the in-laws are treated differently, that could cause hard feelings and so forth. So let's go to Tina in Newport Richey.
Hello?
Hey, Tina.
I wanted to ask, when would somebody use an irrevocable trust?
Most, you know, most people would do a revocable trust by, and the reason that people do irrevocable trusts are probably for an asset protection purpose. Could be for a tax. Well, if you have a living trust and get sued, do the assets in the trust are in jeopardy? If you create an irrevocable trust and you've given the assets away, so when you die, if you got sued, those assets are not in your personal name. They're in a different entity, an irrevocable trust name. The disadvantage of a person, doing an irrevocable trust, though, is you have placed restrictions on yourself because you're not the owner. So most people like to do.
It could never be overturned.
No, I wouldn't say never, but it's unlikely unless you created it for a fraudulent purpose. Here's an example of that, though. Let's suppose you have a car accident, and you know the lawsuit is coming, and you know that the amount of insurance you have is not going to cover the damages. So after the accident, you go out and create an irrevocable trust because you heard that they can't get to an irrevocable trust because you don't own those assets. They're inside this irrevocable trust. So you have an accident, you're going to get sued, that you create one after the fact. You can't create a trust like that pending litigation to protect the asset. You'd have to do it when there was no threat of litigation for it to be effective. And if you do it before there's no possible litigation, then you have greatly restricted yourself on what you can do with your own assets. So most people don't do that. Most people would just have adequate insurance, have an umbrella policy, or have plenty of insurance that would cover any.
Oh, yeah, wasn't even a consideration.
Yeah.
I was just wondering. Well, thank you.
Some people create an irrevocable trust for money going into a charity to get tax benefits. I used to do a whole lot of irrevocable insurance trusts, and that would be a way to get the death benefit of insurance outside of the taxable estate. But those are some of the purposes of why reasons why people would create an irrevocable trust.
Okay, thank you so much. I love your show.
Thank you. Great question. Thanks for calling. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. If you have a legal question, the law office is open this morning on Super Bowl Sunday at 1-800-969-9352. That's 800-969-9352. Phone lines are open. And this morning we had a discussion early with our Medicaid VA attorney on the power attorney, how important that was to have a power attorney, particularly if you're trying to protect assets and do some planning with someone going into a nursing home, and how people can apply for Medicaid by proper use of the certain powers that are listed in the power attorney document. So, and that's another form of asset protection, protecting your estate or being ready for if you had to go in a nursing home, how to move things around to protect them. That's asset protection. And maximize government benefits to protect your legacy, to protect your estate from huge nursing home costs. All of those things are very doable. And one of the aspects of doing estate planning is getting ready for not only death. In fact, I think it's more important to be ready for incapacity than death. I mean, we all need to be ready for death. But, you know, what happens if you have a stroke or an accident while you're living? Who's going to be your healthcare decision maker? Who's going to orchestrate medical treatments, doctor visits, dealing with Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid issues? All that's very important in the power of attorney document. So it's very important that power of attorneys be updated every 3 or 4 years to have current dates on them as well. And healthcare surrogate decisions are very, very important. Someone that could be your advocate dealing with doctors in the in medical profession. Hey, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. That's me, Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The phone lines are open right now. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number at the radio station, 1-800-969-9352. That's 1-800-969-9352. Phone lines are very open right now, so give us a call. The one of the questions this morning was, what about, well, first of all, a person had cancer that called. Their last caller in the first hour, lady had cancer and wanted to know all about wills. And one of our callers this morning, they wanted to know if you could just write out your wishes on a piece of paper and sign it, whether that would be a valid will. The answer to that question, by the way, is no. That would not be a valid will. Even if you're a single child and your parent wrote out a letter saying they want you to have everything and signed it, would that be a valid will? No. Absolutely not be a valid will. Hey, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We're going to take a short bottom of the hour break for news and other commercials and so forth. There'll be about a 5 or 6 minute break here, so we'll be back right after the break. And give us a call if you have a question, 1-800-969-9352. Stay tuned for more of Ask an Attorney.
Is Ask an Attorney on 970 WFLA.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, the law office is open on this.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Super Bowl Sunday. Questioning me just about anything, wills, trust, probate, guardianship, family law. Can be about Medicaid law, VA planning, can be about real estate, can be about traffic, can be about just a problem with your neighbor or at work. Hey, give me a call. I'd love to help. Even if it's not a legal question per se, just a problem question. 1-800-969-9352. That's 1-800-969-9352. Let's go to Jim in Tampa. Hey, Jim.
Doug. Good morning, sir. Got a question relating to a contractor. I'm not the party. I'm a friend of hers. She lives in Pinellas and contracted with a cabinet man who operates out of his van and contracted to buy new cabinets for her kitchen. And she paid the man, and the a crew of 4 or 5 people came over a few days later to her house. I was there, and they assembled the cabinets. And the problem that has arisen is this, that supposedly some of the cabinets were not the correct height or size. And she has gone back and forth with this man and has been able to get no relief or to remedy the problem. So is the guy does not have a storefront or brick and mortar. He's got a telephone number. She did a Google search the other day on his name and found out that his name is listed as, I guess a lot of other people have had similar issues with this guy, and I guess there's a website or something that you can, put people's names out there and companies' names out there that are screwing you over. And apparently, his name is out there many times. What recourse does she have?
Is there a written contract?
It's a piece of paper, kind of like you'd get a receipt.
Does the piece of paper have the dimensions of the cabinets to be bought?
Supposedly so. I have not seen it myself.
Well, let's suppose it does, and let's suppose the wrong cabinets were installed. And let's suppose the guy's not going to do anything after phone calls and requests and writings and threats. And so then the only probably recourse is to go to small claims court. How much money is the total contract worth?
I think it was $5,000 or $6,000.
Yeah. So probably have to go to small claims court, and you might be standing in line with people that have already done that, already have judgments against the guy. So you can get a judgment fairly easily in small claims court a lot of times, but then you have to collect the money.
Right.
Sometimes it's difficult. But, the next step would be maybe have an attorney write a demand letter or go to small claims court.
She did find, through this Google search, apparently a residential address in Tampa. It's apparently rented property. Rented house as opposed to him owning it. What, like you say, a judgment doesn't really mean a whole lot.
You have to get a judgment to get to be able to attach assets, though.
Yeah, if you could find any.
Yeah, well, maybe his truck. I mean, it depends on whether the piece of paper was signed with him personally or with him as a contractor or with a business.
He's a sole proprietor.
And also, check on the county records to see if this guy's licensed.
Well, yeah.
Because, if he's not licensed, you can use that to, he should be reported if he's not licensed, number one.
That would pretty much
put him out of business to stop whatever he's doing to everyone else, too.
Right. Can you give a name of an attorney that would be willing to send a nasty gram?
Yeah, why don't you send me an email and I'll send you the name of someone over there in Hillsboro that I know.
Now, her house is in Pinellas, and I was with her when she negotiated the price with him in Hillsboro. Does that make a difference?
It might make a difference as to where the law. If he lives in Hillsboro, the lawsuit would probably be in Hillsboro.
I see.
Somebody's going to have to review the contract, though, or the piece of paper. So send me an email, and I'll send you a name of somebody that might be able to help you.
Okay. Can you give me that email address, please?
It's Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com.
P-I-P.com?
Yes, sir. Attorney Pip.
Okay. All right, sir. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Let's go to Tracy.
Hello?
Good, Tracy.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All righty. My question is, my mother was living with a gentleman for the last 7 years. She's in her late 70s.
Can you cut your radio off in the background?
Excuse me?
Cut your radio off in the background.
All righty. Is that good?
Yeah, my producer could do it better than I could. But yes, go ahead. Yes.
All right. My question is, my mother was her and living together for the last 7 years. My mother was pretty much for the last year and a half taking care of him. Does Florida have like a common law marriage, you know, because now all of a sudden the kids, you know, nobody's ever come and see him. They call him every now and then. And now all of a sudden, you know, somebody passes away, people just pop up.
There's no such thing as a common law marriage in Florida.
Okay.
So there are no spousal rights. There's no automatic marriage if you live together so many years. So the answer to your question, is there a common law marriage in Florida? The answer is no.
And that's, well, then there's pretty much nothing. I mean, like, they wanted to, they're coming in, they want to take this, they want to take that. And, you know, it's not about any of that. It's like, where was you when all this time when he was alive?
Yeah. No, there's no no community law or common law marriage in Florida. So,
okay,
absent
so what
a will, there.
What could she do? Excuse me?
Well, okay, so now who passed away?
It was just a gentleman my mother lived with for 7 years. My mother and this gentleman lived together, and my mother's in her late 70s. He was in his 80s. His children lived, you know, out of state.
And he died?
Nobody ever come. He just passed away.
And does mother live in his home?
Excuse me?
Does mother live in his home?
No, it's their home.
So
my mother and him, both names are on the the title.
Okay, so it's a mobile home?
Yes, it's in a community.
And it said or him or
yes,
her?
Yes, or.
Well, it's totally her property.
That's okay, yes, because there's an or
like
in
that.
There.
Totally her she doesn't have to let anyone into the house.
Okay. Because it's just, I mean, it's not even the point. I mean, you know, they want everything that's got, like, you know, money value to it, anything from a grandfather clock to whatever. But then when she packs all of his clothes and stuff, they're like, oh, well, we don't want the clothes. You know, and it's just pretty sad.
Well, she doesn't have to let him into the property. It's her house.
Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you. Let's go to Larry and Valrico.
Hello.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, my question is along the similar lines to your last caller. I'm just curious, in Florida, if you have somebody move into your house, like a family member, a girlfriend, whatever, and it goes south eventually, when is that the point where you can ask them to leave or you have to get them evicted?
Yes, if they won't leave, you'd have to get them evicted or ejected.
After any period of time, like after a week or after a month or.
Well, you know, the better thing to do, I know it's family a lot of times, but better thing to do is have a little written contract as to what time period they can stay. So they don't expect to stay from the very start. They don't expect to be able to stay there forever. Have a little written period, you know, you will stay, you know, after nine, you will stay no longer than 90 days. And give them a time limit. I mean, everybody's better with a time focus. You just move in with no expectation of when they might leave, then you're, you know, then there are a lot of times there are problems. So just have a little simple, you know, I love you, but I'd like to have a little time limit of when, how long you're going to stay, and give you ample time to find another place to live. But, you know, I don't want to make this permanent. So we need to have some rules and have it down in writing as to when you're going to leave. And then when they sign that they're going to leave within 90 days, and then they don't, then you force them out.
Okay. All right. That sounds like the smart thing to do. Thank
yep.
you.
All right. All right. So let's go to, let's give out the number. We have about 11 minutes left in the show, and we have Open lines right now at 1-800-969-9352. Lines are open. Let's go to Charles in Land of Lakes.
Morning. My question is pretty simple, I think. On our street, it's a private road. Every house has a 25-foot easement across the front, which allows everybody else to utilize that. Our neighbor at the end of the street subsequently runs into the lake, and we have a ramp so we can put our boats in. And the neighbor at the end of the street has taken, and she knew when she bought the house that the easement was there. Well, now she parks in the road, and it says on our easement that it's unencumbered, the 25-foot. And now we have to constantly call her to get her to move a vehicle to be able to go in, and it's become very frustrating. What can we do?
Well, do you have an association there?
No, sir.
Do you
sir.
Have a homeowners association?
No, sir, yes. We do not.
No, we don't. Okay. Well, you know, I might try a group letter. Somebody prepare a letter and get 10 or more residents to sign it that simply states this is an easement. It should not be encumbered. You are
okay.
A violator of this rule, causing stress for people who have to call you to move your car. So please refrain from parking in the easement, or we as a group will retain an attorney to take legal action against you. I mean, that would get someone's attention, wouldn't you think? Particularly if you got 10 people signing it.
I would think, but we've tried everything. You know, you don't want an enemy for a neighbor, so we're trying to do this as nicely as possible, but it
yeah.
seems to
well, with all due respect, with all due respect and kindly asking for your consideration, the easement should not be encumbered. This is of concern to the following people. We're hoping this can be resolved in a peaceful neighborhood type of way. Kindest regards. I mean, you can write a nice letter, and you can, you know, yes. write a bad. You can write a threatening letter. So start it with a nice letter.
I don't want to be threatening. I just want, you know.
Yeah. Just start out being a nice.
You bought the place that this was the way it was, and now you're
yeah, exactly.
a butthead to the rest of the neighbors, and it's unacceptable.
Yep. Well, yeah. Something like I just said, you could just write. You could be a nice, friendly,
sure.
please letter to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And then, if that doesn't work, you actually do hire an attorney to send her a letter.
All right, sounds good. All right. Well, thank you very kindly, and y'all have a blessed day.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for calling. All right. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. If you, most of my first letters are usually very, very nice. You don't want to start a war when there's already a little battle going on. You don't really want to start a war. So you try to be as nice as you possibly can and reason with the person. It's, I think, the best strategy, you know, just going through your life. You don't want to just make an automatic battle when there's already a small thing going on that could be resolved possibly with friendly communication. Just appeal to them. Yeah, but we all know that there are some people you can't appeal to, and they're dug in, and they want a battle for some reason. Hey, you're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. We have about 6 minutes left in the show, and we have open lines right now. And love to talk to you. If you have something on your mind, why delay? Why not just call? Maybe you'll hear something that would be helpful to you. And other people, of course, listening might also as well. You have a toll-free number, 1-800-969-9352. That's 1-800-969-9352. Phone lines are open. If you would like one of the Zoom links We did a series of Zoom seminars. We're going to do some more of those soon. But the ones that we already have that we could send you a link to listen, these are all about one topic with a 30 or 40 minute presentation and the rest of the hour with questions from a chat room on Zoom and so forth. They are on estate planning. They are on living trust, probate, asset protection, family law, and gun law in Florida. If you like any or all of those, you can send me an email requesting the links. You can learn a little bit, and when you have you can listen to the linking, listen to part of it, and pause it and listen to the rest of it. So whatever you want to do to learn a little bit more about any of those subjects, send the request to Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. Just say you want one or all of those links, Joe at attypip.com. Let's go to Louise in Tampa.
Hi.
Hey, Louise.
I have a question. My home was given to me through rights of survivorship by my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And when they wrote the quick claim deed back in several years ago, the lawyer put my name as a certain way. But on my driver's license, it's a different way. And I'm thinking I have two different, my name is the same, but it's like first, middle, and middle first instead of first and middle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if this is going to have an impact on the portability of Homestead when I move.
No, I would think that you can sign an affidavit of one and the same name when the time comes when you move. So I don't think it would be any. I think it's an issue that could be quickly resolved with just a simple affidavit.
And where would I get that from?
Well, an attorney. And you could actually go back to the attorney who did the deed and see if he or she would do a corrective deed for you.
He's deceased.
Well, I think any attorney that does estate planning, real estate deeds, and so forth could probably do a corrective deed if you'd give you greater peace of mind to get it fixed now. But if you never fixed it and moved for the portability, I think an affidavit would also work. And when you move, an attorney can prepare an affidavit for you. So.
An affidavit. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Louise. Thanks for calling. All right, phone lines, we only have about 2 minutes, so if you want to make a real quick call, you can at 800-969-9352. If you'd like to learn more about our law firm, we have a website, lots of information on there as well. It's attypip, those are P's like Paul, attypip.com. If you want to know more about the radio shows, you could go to that /radio, attypip.com/radio. If you want to learn more about some of those topics I mentioned, you can send me a link. We'll send you links to our Zoom seminars on estate planning, trust, Medicaid, planning, gun law, family law, asset protection. If you want all of those, we'll just say I want all of the Zoom links to those topics. Joe, send an email to Joe at attypip.com. Our office number is 1-800-226-3529. Hey, happy Super Bowl Sunday. Go Bucks. We'll be back next week at the same time. So long.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.